So welcome on our last book study before the summer break. And Brancino is giving us very nice topic for summer. We can reflect and meditate on. And we are on chapter 30, with page 232. You could notice that we skipped few reflections there, so it will be like summer homework then to read that. And and the title of the chapter is Thought on Death. It's very good topic for summertime to meditate on. Right? No, it is something I don't understand a little bit why he put it really as a chapter 30th. Even he mentioned this preparation for death many times before, but like this topic is some kind of very important pillars for spiritual life, and usually you can find this in other authors they mention very early. And well, we just can guess why he made this decision. But anyway, we got here, and it's a very important topic. Welcome.
Thank you.
All right, so please, maybe.
Death is the inevitable fate of every human being on this earth. We fear it as the cruelest of enemies. We bitterly mourn those whom it seized. But we live our life as though death does not even exist, as though we were immortals on this earth. Oh, my coffin, why do I forget you? You wait for me, you wait, and I will definitely be your inhabitant. So why do I forget you and act as though the coffin were the fate only of other people, not my fate? Sin has taken and continues to take away any knowledge or sense of truth that I had. It takes away from me the remembrance of death, of this event that is so important for me.
Thank you. He starts this chapter with he pointing to this paradox we experience every day. On one side, we know that the end of human life is death. On the other side, we try to avoid to think about that. And he points and he shows that, well, this paradox is even present in his life. And he was monk, bishop. He lived in this seclusion, but still he notices that there is this forgetfulness and for death. And look how it is in our life present. You can all this if you just watch the ads, TV ads. You can find from men, you know, well, I pay a little bit attention to men, if it's for men, but then I'm disappointed because it was funny, yes, that, well, if you take this shampoo, so there will be no gray hair. I said, what is that, you know? Why somebody is bothered by gray hair? And to understand that, but if you go through how many things we are using or they are offered to us just to keep this illusion of youth, to be young forever. And there is a pressure, if you wish or not, you know, that it's from world is coming, trying to tell us you are going to live forever. And And we are under this pressure, and then it what is missing, I would say, to getting old, it was always somehow connected with naturally with this remembrance of death and preparation with always bigger and bigger intensity with for eternal life, to prepare for eternal life. This natural aspect which pushed people to think about that was in our times very eliminated. Because if I recall just these older people I used to visit as a priest when 30 years ago, and I could see their weakness, bodily weakness, and they realized the weakness, and it was forcing them more to silence, more to prayer, or even some kind of isolation from society, because if you cannot move. But if I recall those people now, I would say today, with this new progress in medicine, all those people would live longer and would have easier life. Like, I remember one lady, she couldn't walk because of her knees. But, well, now I think, well, today she would get this replacement and she would be really, she would have like second life. But Michael, but then you think, what is better? To have this maybe weakness and to, which points you to the end of life and you are making good preparation, or this perspective that you can have quality of life, that you can that you can live like active life almost to your death. And another thing was that even like we are talking about change of society, that when I came here, I was amazed when I went to visit one lady in nursing home, still in somewhere in Parma area. It was my probably first visit somebody, and I was taken like, oh, it was like amazing for me, because I saw environment, I saw how care was taken about these older people, and it was, everything was like amazing for me, great. And then I saw some kind of like table, big board on the wall, and there was like days and divided 2 hours, and for each hour there was something written there, bingo and hairdresser, stylist and everything. I said, it was like filled, and I said, this is amazing, you are providing all for your like these customers here. Yeah, and we try to fill all their time. And I said, this is amazing, this car, the quality of life. But then on my way back home, I realized they are taking all their life, time. They consume them, they fill them with activities, and they are not able to even like, they don't have time to think, meditate. And it is not only with older people, it's with us too, that we have this perspective, like our even like we, our plans are somehow, we expand these our plans that we are, that probably, yes, I will work hard, very hard, and then I will have great retirement. Well, it might be. I'm not saying that not to work hard, you know, don't take me wrong, but sometimes we are taken with this illusion that we will live, that we are forgetting the most important things. And it is quite difficult to accept this. It was difficult for them, like he lived in his time on Brian Channel. There were not so many disruption and there were no media, there was no other things, and so it was there was no distractions if we compare with our world, our time. But still he says that he has difficulty to remember death. How difficult it had to be, it has to be for us to do this. And this is something what we must do, because we don't know. We really don't know when death is coming. We can have plans for today, for this evening. Who knows? I'm not scaring anyone. I don't want to, but this is the reality of life, and we know that it might be. In that book of sayings of the fathers, Evergetinos, you can read what advice the one elder is given to his disciples. He said, you have to say many times during day, today is day when God will call me home. Today is the day. And he said, if you want to make some kind of progress in your spiritual life, it will not go without that. And Brian Channel explains why it is important, why it's important to make this violence to ourselves. He says that sin has taken and continues to take away any knowledge or sense of truth. You know, he takes away from me the remembrance of death, of this event that is so important for me. So while sin is present in our life, it is fruit of sin that we stop to remember this death. We stop to remember eternal life. And this is why we need to do violence and to practice this remembrance of death every day. Every day. And if you start to do this, it really will change your life. One thing. Another thing is that it is test too of our faith. Because remembrance of death, I was joking, that depressing topic, but now question is, if we believe in Christ and we believe that in him we have eternal life in heaven, so why we are so tied with this earth when there is so much pain, problems, difficulties are? We know that this, our life on earth, is just short journey. It's nothing in comparison with eternal life. Why we are sticking with this short amount of time and forgetting preparation for this eternal life? How it is that death causes, terrifies us instead of making us, I cannot wait, you know, because then I will be with Jesus. Why it is that if we, if priest says in homily about this remembrance of death, so some people are like, oh, depressing homily, instead of, all right, yes. It's great, I almost forgot. Yes, if we are coming home, you know, it will be something very exciting. I cannot wait. You know, that the remembrance of death should, it's test of our faith, how we really, what we are believing in.
Is it that we don't believe that he's going to be merciful to us, or is it that we feel like we've hedged our bets in believing in God?
No, I think that it might be, okay? But I think the bigger thing is that there is resistance in us. Because if you, and it will come in next paragraphs, explanation, is resistance. I will just touch briefly to this, that if I say to myself and believe today I'm going to die, what am I going to do?
Go out and party. I don't know.
What?
Go out and party. If it's like, I think it's my last day.
I think that I will avoid all the things which can put me to bad light, to sin. I will try to do my best. I will try to serve God with all my power. I would sacrifice, I would skip many things because it will be not important for me. Now, so it is very difficult to tell today is the day God can call me home, because if I take it seriously, this is my preparation, I have to change a lot of things in my life immediately. If I take it seriously as a preparation. Yes?
And the thing is, that can happen at any time.
Yeah.
So we should be living that way. Not yeah. Expecting that to happen.
So I think that this is resistance, why we don't think it's resistance in us, because we don't want to change. We don't want to enter to this war with our passions, with our habits, with our way of life. Yes, we acknowledge, yes, this is true. Yes, there's eternal life, I believe. But actually, I don't want to change anything what I'm doing. Even I know it is wrong. Craig?
Just to back you up on what you just said, it was funny. I remember one of the first saints I ever read coming back was St. Teresa of the Little Flower. After her first communion, she was so enlightened with Christ, and she came back to her little get-together with her entire family, and she ran up and her hugged her mom and dad and says, I cannot wait for you two to die, because you can come be with Jesus. And they were so, you know, shocked at first, and then they thought, well, how does she know this? This is amazing that she can see this clearly right now.
So I think that we have to test ourselves, our faith, you know, because it is easy for us to say, hey, I believe in Christ. So, all right, really? You know, really? I'm really looking forward for eternal life. I'm trying to arrange everything to be with him. It's difficult. And as he says, even with good intentions, hard. I'm not criticizing anybody. I just want to stress that it is hard to, without practice, without doing this violence to ourselves, without remembrance, we have to practice that, to slowly to defeat these are habits or way how we live, and to obtaining this wider experience, because or wider view of life, Because when we start to live in death, so many things will be not so important for us. I don't want to say that we will don't take responsibility for things, that we will live like some kind without any duties or something, but no, but things will get different perspective. Everything. And we'll be approaching things from this perspective. Let's continue. It will...
Michael has a question.
Okay, Michael.
I have one thing to say. It's just how could I look forward to death as a good thing if I constantly, like, remind myself, like, I don't even know if I'll make it to heaven. So, if, like, if I'm excited for death, it's like I can't be sure that I'll go to heaven, which is why I'm scared of death.
All right. One thing is that if you are preparing for that and you think about that, so immediately you will find very fast, and we will be touching next paragraph a little bit about that, you will be experiencing what is barrier for that. So if I say myself, and this is my, it was my experience, you know, that one evening this came to my mind, this advice: this night will be night when you might die. All right. And then I told myself, so what is your reaction? Yes, you said Jesus prayer. I said, like, things that I'm sorry for my sin, this contrition. But then I went to bed and I thought to myself, shouldn't you go to church and to pray? What if it might be the night you are going to die? And I didn't fall well at that either, you know. So, but, well, I didn't go. Because I was tired, morning was another thing, were in the church. I said, I have to get some sleep. It's too late. But look how it is. And then I was thinking next day about myself. So, what was your answer to this? I was ashamed of myself, you know. But, well, you have to have wisdom too, you know, that I'm just saying that even if you make this practice, you find yourself that you are faking. This is your answer. And now, if you are trying not to fake it, you to do the maximum you can, and adjust your mind according to this thought, so you will start to fight with your passions. You will start to see what is your laziness or some kind of habits. You will see not really strong belief, maybe, you know, old ways you want to follow. You see all those things, and even if you are failing, you know that you are failing, and you're asking God, oh Lord, I want that, but I cannot today. You reach these limits that well, you cannot conquer, you know. At that moment, you can conquer all these bad habits or passions or thoughts, or, you know, but you say, oh Lord, help me. You come and you beg for that. Help me. And one thing is that God really is merciful, and He sees our hearts. And there was one story, I probably mentioned that, from this life of monks, that one monk was sinning every day, falling to the sin, the passion, this bad habit, every day, several times per day sometimes. always he went to the church, lying in front of icon, making prostration and begging God to forgive him. And many times happens that he went out from church and he sinned again. So he returned back to the church and he was begging for help. This was a longer story, but in the end, God called him to eternity when he was doing prostration. God is not somebody who is like, he wishes our salvation. And he understands our fights, but if we do it from this good intention, we can have hope that he will call us when we are on our knees begging for his mercy. That he will call us in that moment, not in a moment when we are in fail, in sin, not repenting. And I think I mentioned it before. Look, this is after like 30 years of priesthood, maybe more, I don't remember death of one of my parishioners. Those who were like faithful, they were coming on a regular basis for confession, they were trying to pray, to improve their lives and making confessions on a regular basis. Even it was for some of them was, Father, I have the same sin again and again. I cannot improve my life. I'm so upset. These older people that are saying that, the crying, you know, that I cannot conquer that. And when they were confessing and begging for, none of those people died without receiving absolution and anointing. None of them. It's really, at least I don't remember. You know, if I couldn't be there, so it was a priest who was in hospital going around and they asked him and he gave them anointing or Holy Communion, but there was nobody. There are people who really very often have what happened that they make confession even. And then after next day still alive, they call me again because they forgot something. God's grace reminded them something. And they made repentance. God's grace is great. He wants our salvation. And if there is little effort in us, if there is this effort according to our limits, and we try, he will call us when we are in a state of repentance. I have this trust because I saw this in my life. You know, I saw that does it mean?
Yeah.
So we don't need to fear because we know that God is merciful and God is that one who wishes our salvation. So he will even use the little crack which we can offer him to penetrate and to flood our soul with grace. His son died for us, for our salvation. So this huge sacrifice gives us hope that, well, he did it for our salvation. He will do everything for us. Just we need to make our part, which is in comparison with God's grace and his mercy, something little. But it doesn't mean to like expect, okay, God will be merciful to me so I can have like good time now and relax. No, I have to work on my salvation. I have to take it really this responsibility to think about, to practice that, to try, you know, and then I can have hope. Oh, I didn't eat them. Okay.
Do we have mercy on us? Do God have mercy on us?
Sure, He has. Sure, He wants us to be saved.
Yeah.
You know, so we know that mercy, God equals mercy. I would say, and it is just, look, it is the same thing. It is that we have lights here. It's not the best comparison, no. Lights here, there are on. We have light because somebody turned on the switch. Electricity is in wires. Electricity is present here. The power was here, but to get light, somebody had to turn on the switch. The same thing it is that, yes, God's mercy surrounds us. God's grace surrounds us. But we have to turn on the switch. We have to show God that we want that. That we want to receive Him. That we want to fulfill His will, that we want to serve Him, that we want eternal life, that we are opening ourselves for Him, showing Him our misery or our sins, and we are begging to start to work in us, to transform us, to help us. But there is need this activity in our life. This willingness. Does it make sense?
That makes sense.
All right.
Paul had doubts in two different areas, that whether he would make it or not, after preaching all day, and then he thought, I'm not sure if I'm going to make it, because it's a fine line. But it's really nice to have the evening prayer to remind us on that, that we get a chance to get that.
I think
you
have it, don't you? Yeah. You read the evening prayer? Yeah. That helps, that kind of brings it to mind at the end.
Covers everything.
Yeah.
It's like, yeah.
Okay.
Okay,
move. All right. Another.
To remember death, one must lead a life according to the commandments of Christ. The commandments of Christ purify the mind and heart, making them dead to the world and alive in Christ. The mind that has rejected earthly passions begins to turn often to the mysterious passing into eternity, to death. The purified heart begins to foresee death.
This is an amazing paragraph, you know, but he shows us like three, like some kind of steps how to do this practice. He says that the first condition for us to be able to start to do this, to practice this, is keeping commandments. We are returning back to first or second chapter when what they are stressing, because if you read gospel and you find all these commandments, all it means all Christ's words, and you start to fulfill them, immediately we find our weaknesses, you know, and we see that, okay, I am not keeping that. We can have this illusion of some kind of good standing in front of God until we don't take commandments seriously. you know, that it is just few words, few commandments, do not judge. You know, it's one thing is how it is difficult to fulfill this commandment. I'm not saying about others. And it is really difficult, as example. And if I start to work on this and on each commandment, suddenly I start to realize I am not ready for heaven. My salvation is in danger. And this will push me to remember this death, this moment when I will be standing in front of God, giving account for my life. So each commandment when I try to keep commandments, and I see my failures, this moment brings me to a remembrance of death. Okay. So I have to, another thing I can see, even my ties with this world. You know that I love this world more, because if I ask why I'm not able to keep this commandment, yeah, because to keep this commandment means to say goodbye to many things in this world, even many relationships in the world. You know. Many times it is that when we try to keep commands, we many times realize that, oh, all right, I have to, this is my friend, I have a very good time with him or her, we have fun, funny time and joke, but well, my mind is filled with many thoughts which lead me away from God. There was like one of these elders who died recently in Greece, Manamatos. I don't remember the name, but he said this, that he had to go to city outside Manamatos to hospital for medical examination for 2 days. And he said, he returned back to Manatos and he said, it took me 1 month to collect my thoughts. So much, you know, these impulses came, which he had to work hard to come back to some kind of peace of mind or clarity. And this is why Isaac Syrian, in one of his homilies, he writes to his brother who invited him, come visit me. And he said, no, I would need to go through city. I would need to meet people. And in few days, I would lose what I gained through years. So he refused. And many times it is, we know that we can notice when we keep commandments. The many times we say that some are friends or people we meet, they really create this mess in us, mess in our thoughts. So we have to make decision. Am I going to do something with that or not? There is a media. There are like other impulses which are causes this state on our mind. It's difficult. It's tough. But all those things, if we start to remember keeping commandments, we start to discover all those things. And the next step is it brings to our heart the spirit of repentance. It should bring to our hearts spirit of repentance and to active steps to correction of our life. We might try, we might fail, you know, and we will fail many times, but we will be standing again and again to try to keep commandments. And this leads to, if we continue with God's grace, we can come to this state to when our mind is purified. And he says that this purification through reading of gospel, prayer especially, sacraments, fasting, and many all other these ascetic tools, I can reach this purity of mind. And he says, at that time, on this level, the thought for death will be present without some kind of effort. It will be natural for us to meditate about this entering to eternal life, something like natural. This is what will be causing actually joy, that yes, the moment is coming. And then he says, well, and then it's purity of heart. It's another level. It is state when we passions are silent, uprooted. They don't exist. This comes from really, well, probably nobody in the world can reach that. Saint Isaac Sirian says that it's one in generation can reach that. But he says that this clarity, this purity of heart, mind, they give this clarity that even they can start to, they are receiving so much grace that even many of them, they knew that death is coming. You know, they can say. Who saw this movie, The Island, of this Russian monk? Did you see that? Okay, what is the end of the movie? The monk who went through this harsh penance. In the end, what he did? He went somewhere and he came dressed in this funeral dress. He laid to casket and he ordered to the monk who was there, go and tell the woman that monk then died. Then went to announce that and meanwhile he died. You know, it is something we don't know. We can see it from this example, from life of saints. they knew that, but it is without passion, when you have this purity of heart and mind, you are starting to live in some kind, already in this reality of kingdom. And many things are uncovered in front of us. But well, let's not go so far. He just explains how does it work. Let's start with practicing this remembrance of death. Let's have another paragraph.
Okay. The mind and heart that have rejected the world strive to eternity. Having loved Christ, they tirelessly hunger to appear before him, even though they fear the hour of death. Understanding the greatness of God and their own worthlessness and sinfulness, to them, death seems at the same time a terrible labor and the awaited deliverance from the prison of the world.
Okay, he gives you answer now a little bit in these words, because he shows us that even if we make this detachment from the world and we remember death and we try to really, and we love Christ in some kind, with all our heart, still, death is a terrifying moment for us. And he says that this is this desire for eternal life and this fear of death are present in that person, but both are in the some kind of correct balance. That makes sense? Death is horrifying moment. Horrifying. And even saints, they were horrified. They were afraid of this judgment moment. But on the other hand, they had hope and faith. And both were in what it's important is, yes, we have to, because of God, and because of this commandment, we have to try to do this detachment from the world. We have to walk on the path to salvation. And we have to have this harmony which gives good balance to this fear which can appear in our heart, you know, in front of death. And this balance somehow gives us good, it helps us to grow. It helps us not to stop. Because even to our last moment, we are in danger of go to like temptation. So even the biggest saints, they had still this fear of death, but it helped them to go even deeper to faith, to repentance, you know, to this desire for God. I think that this is like something what he talks about that, but I think that to understand correctly this balance, we can do only correctly through our experience. I think that this is something what we can, he can tell us, but we have to really fully understand. We have to go, we have to, this full understanding we can gain only through our experience. Okay. Let's have another two paragraphs. Mm-hmm. To do if one page at least.
If we are not capable of desiring death because of our coldness to Christ and our love for the fading world, then at the very least, let us try to recall death as a bitter medicine against our sinfulness, because once the remembrance of death, as the Father called it, has taken root in the soul, it cuts off the soul's friendship with death, with all sinful pleasures. Only he who has become closely linked with the thought of his own death can put an end to his sins. Remember your end, and you will never sin. Rise up from your bed.
Okay.
Oh, no.
Okay. All right. It's,
okay.
I think this important something what he gives us, this quotation, that only he who has become closely linked with the thought of his own death can put an end to his sin. These are words of Saint Isaac the Syrian. And it is so true. You know, because, look, one thing is that probably you know stories about people who had some kind of physical or bodily disease, and they were in a serious state in hospital, and doctors said to them, you have to change your lifestyle. If not, you are going to die. And how many people did it? People are able to change their habits from day to day if they have this experience. They come from hospitals at different people many times, and they really start hard to work on body, on health, and try to avoid everything, you know, what can damage them. So what caused that change of lifestyle, this remembrance of death? But well, intention many times is to protect bodily life, this life. But we are doing the same, that we remember to our death because protecting our eternal life. So it's very difficult to change some kind of our habits if we don't take this to consideration, our eternal life. Impact of these ways, what we are doing, habits, on our eternal life. Only when we take it seriously, we can change many, many bad habits. It is good help. It is not like, we cannot take it like, okay, now I should change because of love of God. And many people, they argue, well, why to scare people with death if we are supposed to do something from love to God? Okay, so let's play with that a little bit. It sounds like good argument, and we should do it from because of our love. But what is love? How we know that we love God? Christ told us. Yeah. If you love me, you keep commandments. So, well, at first, if I want to love God and to do something because I love him, I have to come at first. Well, it's not so this way, it's going to be complicated, but I am simplifying that. I have to come to love God through keeping commandments. And remembrance of death helping me to keep commandments. It means to come to pure love towards God. So if I am skipping that, if it's so, we are somehow poisoned with some kind of almost heresy of that emotions are replacing our faith. That sometimes I love Christ. I say that I feel well, but I'm lying if I don't try to keep his commandments. You know, this is coming out from his words. It's different when I am trying hard and I am failing. This different story. I'm talking about this way that I just lie to myself. I am keeping this emotion, yes, I love God, and I am doing nothing to conquer my bad habits and passions. I am doing nothing, and I even don't care, but I'm satisfied with this emotion I have in my heart. And yes, and usually these people, they say, well, why to scare with death? You know, we should love God and to fight, yes. But well, this remembrance of death helps me to keep commandments. and keeping commandments fills me with true love towards God. That makes sense? It's simplified a little bit, but we have to keep this concept in our mind and really to test ourselves. And always when we say, "Oh Lord, I love you," if we are right or not. You know, if I am trying and I am failing, again, if I am doing effort and, well, it seems that I didn't make any progress and I see myself as a miserable sinner, but I am trying hard, I am tired of trying. This is something what is progress, something. But if I just keep some kind of pious thoughts, emotions, heart, doing nothing, not fighting, you know, and we can ask evening this question that, what was the most serious passion I was fighting with today, I was trying to conquer? What I was trying to conquer today in me, what took my strength or strength of my soul today, and many times we cannot find it. It's difficult for us to find it. We realize that we wasted probably the day. So we have to be very careful. And this remembrance of death brings us to reality and points us immediately, you know, to this, put this contrast of our real life and the life according to God's commandments. So he has more to say, but we will finish here. And really good thoughts for summer. Enjoy the summer, your trips and everything, and keep your death in mind. I'm not joking. All right.